Welcome to What's Up Bainbridge. I'm your host, Sonia Scher. Today, I'm speaking with members of the Bainbridge Island Climate Change Advisory Committee, Mike Cox, Laura Hansen, and Deb Rudnick, and also City Council member Joe Dietz. They will host two live online presentations this month on the Climate Action Plan to help the city and community begin implementation of the plan. The Climate Action Plan, otherwise known as CAP, was unanimously approved by the City Council this past November 10th. The plan includes more than 180 actions to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and prepare our community for the impacts of climate change. The online events will be held Wednesday, January 13th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, January 23rd from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Welcome, Mike, Deb, Laura, and Joe. Thanks for coming. My first question is about the action plan. I read that this action plan is a culmination of a three-year effort by the Climate Change Advisory Committee, working with the city staff and community stakeholders and the public. And I'd like to acknowledge that this is a historic event for the city of Bainbridge Island. Joe, why was this initiative so important to the City Council?
Oh, well, thank you, Sonia. This is a historic moment for Bainbridge Island, but there's a lot that has gone on before to where now the community is having a chance to look at the Climate Action Plan. We'll go into detail later. Maybe I'll let Mike talk about this, but this has been the culmination of at least 3 years of work. My part, I've been on council for just 3 years, and my role as liaison is to give all the support possible that I can, and as well as my colleagues. We are all very strongly behind this effort. Why is that? Why are we behind this? Well, clearly it is the necessity of addressing climate change. But I think it's more than that. It's we need to show the leadership from council to the community, because this isn't something that the city can do on its own, the council can do on its own, but it's going to be a community-wide effort. And in order to be successful, the community needs to know that council, the city, and this committee are solidly behind this. So it's highly ambitious, but it's necessary. And speaking from someone who has been in the renewable energy field for many years, I feel really the easy part has been done, getting this passed. Now the real hard part begins. And a huge part of that is reaching out to folks, letting them know what's going on, and answering their questions. So thank you.
And Mike, what started the Climate Change Initiative? Give us a brief history of how all this began.
Sure, Sonia, thanks. And how it happened in, I think, 2017, a number of us got together from different organizations across the island, from Climate Action Bainbridge, Sustainable Bainbridge, EcoAdapt, Citizens Climate Lobby, and said, you know, we need to get together collectively and try to do something on Bainbridge. And so what we did is we asked a few council members, and we got together with them, and we proposed an idea to pull together a committee that was with the city that would help us shepherd through a plan and then get us on our road to trying to reduce the greenhouse gases and prepare the island. So we sat down, drafted a charge, and City Council approved that. The committee was formed. It started, people has expanded to 9 of experts in many different fields who live on the island. And we drafted a outline of how we needed to proceed in terms of getting to the plan development. And what that was real quick is we did a climate assessment that Laura Hansen, who's on the call, shepherded through as a part of the comprehensive plan. We did something called the greenhouse gas emissions inventory that helped us identify where the largest greenhouse gas emitters were so we could target the effort. We had community input, and then we started to work on drafting the plan, and then COVID hit, and we were on hiatus for a bit, but we came back, we met with city staff, gosh, over 10 times, hammering out different details of the plan, met with city council numerous times, and shazam, we came out with a final plan in November that they approved. So it was a bit of a process, but really a commitment from the council and the city, and of course, all the members of just not the committee, but all the other people in the community who really have supported us and provided valuable input.
Yeah, it sounds like such a great effort. Thanks for everyone for being involved and getting this off the ground. Deb, can you tell us a little bit about the goals? The CAP includes recommended actions and strategies to move the city towards three goals. They're one, mitigation, two, adaption, and three, community engagement. Tell us about these goals and what we can expect.
Sure, Sonia, thanks. So when we talk about these three goals, they really kind of form the foundation of the Climate Action Plan. And when we say mitigation, what we mean is reducing the intensity of greenhouse gas emissions from our community that contribute to climate change. So in the CAP, we've identified an overarching mitigation goal of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 90% by 2045 compared to our 2014 levels. And 2014 is the first year for which we have a completed greenhouse gas inventory, so we can use that as a baseline against which we measure as we move forward. When we talk about adaptation, that's really responding to climate change. How do we prepare our community for changes we know or expect to have coming? And our adaptation goal is a broad one. It really says that we are a climate savvy community and we can withstand the impacts of climate change. That means a lot of different things depending on the issue. And there's a lot of actions in the plan that go into those adaptation responses. And then finally, we have the goal of community engagement. Because as Joe already spoke to and Mike did, there is no way we're going to achieve the goals of the CAP without engaging the entire Bainbridge community. The city will inspire action across the community and partner with local and regional organizations to take meaningful and equitable climate change mitigation and adaptation actions to really help us get towards those first two goals.
Excellent. Thank you. Mike, the advisory committee consists of a large group of qualified scientific experts, like you mentioned earlier. In addition to the volunteer members, is there a plan to hire a coordinator to implement the CAP?
That was one of our main actions or recommendations to the city council, is the need to have a central person in the city that is the lead for guiding each of the departments, outreach to the community, outreach to the broader regional community to implement the climate action plan. So this is really a key component, and working on a job description for that particular person. And, we're hoping that that person would come on and he would report directly in the executive branch. So they'd be reporting to the city manager and deputy city manager. That would give them kind of a purview over all the city actions. So we're really excited that that's going to happen. And we're looking forward to working and supporting their efforts in however they end up going and trying to implement this plan.
Joe, can you tell us a little bit about how this role is going to be funded through the city?
Great question, Sonia. Let me just say, hiring a full-time person in the COVID era by the city is a huge step for us. Putting on my budget hat for a moment, the highest expense that you can possibly as an organization is hiring a full-time person, because you have reoccurring revenue expenses going well into the future. The city's revenues are down, not surprisingly, because of the pandemic. The demands on the city are much higher than what they were, say, a year ago today. I just want to emphasize that despite our declining revenues and despite the demands on us on essential services, be it on the health, be it on economic recovery, being it on supporting some of the critical nonprofits in the community, we still found the money to hire a FTE, full-time person, to handle this work. And why did we do that? We did this because this is how you get the work done. If we didn't do this, I would be afraid that it would just sort of get lost in the general organizational bureaucracy. But when you have it, that's actually someone's job, and they're in the executive wing. This is our commitment, if you will, from a budget standpoint. And let me see, Sonia, I'm not sure if I answered your question quite honestly. What was there more to that, or did you want more funding questions?
No, I think I just really wanted to understand, it is going to be a paid role. And where are the funds coming from? If we are strapped for funds at all levels, you know, this coming year due to our pandemic situation, how is this going to be funded? Are there grants that are supporting these types of initiatives?
Quick question. No grants. This is coming from general funds.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Laura, can you tell us a little bit about the community engagement? How do you see the Bainbridge community coming together on this plan?
Sure. It's really, everyone has said this already, but I'll reiterate it. It's essential that this be a community endeavor. The plan, as it's laid out, when people go to look at it, they'll notice that there are over 180 actions listed in it, 18 of which have been made priority for over the next year. And those actions are not actions that the city of Bainbridge Island can achieve on its own. In order for them to happen, it's going to require that everyone come together to meet our piece of the local, state, and national commitments to this global challenge. So other government entities that we think are going to be important players in this include the Bainbridge Island School District, the Bainbridge Island Fire Department, the Bainbridge Island Parks and Rec, our relationship with Kitsap County, local utility districts outside of those by the city, as well as our service providers, PSE, Puget Sound Energy, and Bainbridge Disposal. Local businesses are going to have to be part of this. Local nonprofits, some already are part of it, and we're part of making this sort of move forward, but we'll continue to need to be players in it to meet the goals. And then everybody who's listening and all of our neighbors are all going to be important participants in making this happen. In order to do that, we need to communicate as fully as we can about what are the goals that are trying to be achieved and provide clear guidance on what does meeting this goal look like. But it also means opening up to ideas from the community, because the plan lays out what the goals and actions are, but what those look like really has to be developed by all the members of the community who are going to be living with them. That's how you get people to appreciate and engage in them. So Mike will talk a little bit in a moment about some of the specific outreach that we're doing, but a lot of work clearly will be happening to increase those linkages with all of those partners. And to date, a lot of the committee members have been attending meetings with those other groups to start trying to kickstart getting the word out about the need for everyone to play a role in creating a climate savvy Bainbridge Island.
That's excellent. So I foresee many other community events coming from your organization, and getting people involved at different levels throughout the island. So I think there's been a lot of thought through on all the stakeholders in our community that need to be involved. So that's going to be pretty exciting to see the events coming forward. Mike, what can we expect at the upcoming event, the online event on January 13th and 23rd?
Yes, Sonia, I think the idea for these events is we want to provide the community with an overview of the plan and specifically what we hope to accomplish in the next year. And so we'll be highlighting approximately 20 priority actions that we would really like to accomplish in the next year from the larger set of actions that we've identified and recommended. So we'll be focusing on those. And then we really want input from, not input, but a discussion from the community, clarification of what those actions are, what their role might be, some of the timelines for those, what are the outputs that we're hoping, how are we on the timeline or the trajectory to meet our goals. So the idea is really to start engaging the community more into the plan itself and having them identify where they might fit in, where's their docking point for the plan and what might they be able to do individually, but also as a part of their organizations that they might be a part of, or a part of trying to push a little bit the city council and the city to move forward with the plan itself. So We're looking forward to sharing the plan and getting some good discussion going.
That's excellent. You know, I think about the Bainbridge Prepares organization. They have this campaign where they have the little character on their campaign events. I think it's what is that? Is it a raccoon?
Yes.
I think the cap needs a character too. You got one?
Well, I like it.
Great suggestion. Any ideas?
I don't know. Maybe a tree, a talking tree or something.
I like that idea. Maybe we should have a contest. There we go.
There we go.
We're going to start a contest on the 13th.
Right.
And the winner gets a mask. I don't know.
A bottle of hand sanitizer.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now that we've really covered a lot about the CAP and what all is happening, are there other things that you feel are important for our community to know or understand? What's your message to Bainbridge Island right now about this?
I'll take a stab at this first, but I think everyone probably wants to have something to say. This is a highly ambitious plan that's going to require all of us, council, staff, this committee and the greater community and our other taxing jurisdictions. So just looking at some of the things that we have coming up from the city is we're going to be negotiating with Puget Sound Energy on our franchise agreement. And so that's going to be some very interesting conversations because our largest greenhouse gas emissions come from our electric utility. So suddenly that becomes critical, is our agreement with PSC. We would like to establish a green building fund. In my eyes, I would love to see Bainbridge is an electric-only community, and there's just some very high residential electric users, let me just say. And wouldn't it be equitable if we could find a way to tax the high electric users and use the proceeds to provide energy efficiency measures or renewable energy measures to low-income or nonprofit organizations?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a litany of other ideas, but all these take a lot of time and effort, and we're not going to be successful in initiating all of these all at once in one year, particularly in a year of COVID. But I just want to emphasize that this is an absolute priority to council, to the city, and we're going to do everything we can to make it happen. And I do reach out to my brother jurisdictions, if you will, to do all that you can. This is not just a Bainbridge Island City project. And it's one thing to say, yes, climate change is real. And yes, we need to get do something about it. But there's going to be some hard decisions that jurisdictions, businesses, and people need to make. And they're going to be seeing these in these presentations. And we're going to hope that they buy in, that they accept. Yes, there's going to be some maybe I don't build such a big house,
right,
for example. Okay. Maybe I don't buy that second car, for example.
Right. And I think people need to be open to these ideas and open to having conversations about what they can do, what their part is going to be living here on Bainbridge and being a Bainbridge Island resident.
Yeah, so one thing I'd like to add on to what Joe was saying is that we didn't talk about some of the other initiatives that the city is doing that really dock up well with the climate action plan. There's something called the Green Building Task Force that's looking at adopting green building standards for the city. There's a Sustainable Transportation Task Force that's looking at how do we create interconnected networks for bike walking and biking, which are crucial to get people out of their cars. We have the Race Equity Task Force that now is a standing committee that's looking at how we can make all the things we do more equitable and inclusive and diverse. And so there's a lot of other actions that are going on with the city that we are coordinating with. And so I would just like to leave the impression that we're not just in this little tunnel and doing a parallel track. Our goal and what we've tried to do is to integrate what our work is with the great work that's also going on with other committees within the city and other organizations. And so we're going to continue to try to do that. And I think people are really excited out there. The people I've talked to, really excited that we got this and really want to help and move this forward.
And I'd love to add one other piece. At the beginning, we talked a lot about how this was a historic moment. And I would like to impress upon everyone that the real historic moment is going to happen when Bainbridge Island meets our ambitious, but really at the end of the day, minimum essential goals of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 90% by 2045 and hitting our midterm targets, making our island climate savvy in the face of the impacts that we are going to be facing because of the change that's already afoot, and having everyone have been a part of that solution. That will be our historic moment.
Okay, well, we're going to link the Climate Change Advisory Committee and the Climate Action Plan links on our BCB webpage so people can go out and look at the schedule and all things climate change. I think that's it. Anyone else have anything they want to share before we close?
Thank you for having us.
Well, yeah. Thanks to everyone for joining me today. You're doing an immensely important job helping our Bainbridge Island community meet the challenge. So thank you very, very much. And thanks to our audience for listening to this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, which is brought to you by BCB, a community service of Barn.